The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF, making your home great. We just were chit-chatting here on the radio or off the radio before the show began, and I ended with the comment, I like Florida, but I don't like how they've decorated. And here is Rhonda Benvey Plummer of Help Me Rhonda Interiors, my wife Melissa, and let's kick that around for a little bit. What is that style in Florida?
Florida.
It's
Florida. Floridian.
It's Florida. It's the pale turquoises.
Right. It's, you know, got a beachy vibe to it.
Yeah.
Lots of tile. They do a lot more tile for some reason, which is a lot of hard surfaces to me. I think, you know, just because of the extreme heat and the extreme humidities and stuff, tile seems to work better there than, you know, a lot of the wood products and stuff that we use here. Of course, we have it. It's moving this way, it seems like, the heat.
Is it really?
The heat. I mean, have you been outside? Okay. Yeah.
Yes, I've been outside. Yeah, I don't know why, but it's gotten hotter.
It is just kind of crazy. And then I think about when, you know, they say, you know, it's getting hot. And then I think about when I was a child, I remember it being this hot.
Sure.
You know,
and
being outside, you know, because, you know, back then they kick you outside. You know, you're going outside to play whether you wanted to or not, right?
Yes, yes.
And I remember being this hot, you know, so.
You weren't drinking out of a water hose, were you?
I was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought.
Yeah.
You sound like a water hose.
I was a water hose girl.
Yeah.
You know, the type, you know, we all would ride our bikes, you know, everywhere. Mom didn't have a clue where we were. And then we'd hear like this big bell ringing and you knew it was time to come home.
Just be home sometime.
Exactly.
Was my mom's rule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, were you a water hose person?
I was. Yep. Riding bikes. You know, water hose, all of that.
Yeah. Good old days, right? The good old days.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we need to talk about decorating and interior decorating. And I don't know anything about it, which is why my wife is here to support me with ideas and thoughts.
Or keep them out of the ideas.
Ooh, keep them, prevent
it's probably better that way, right?
An oddball idea. So here's the thing. I want to know, first off, what you offer, what you'll do for people, and don't tell me everything, because she wants to say everything.
It's pretty much everything.
Okay.
So, I'm one of the designers. There's a lot of ways that different designers work. You know, you have, like, designers that, you know, will only take you on if you are going to, like, do their whole house.
Yeah.
Right? You know, in other words, maybe it's, you know, you just bought a new house and we're going to decorate the whole house. They won't come in and do, you know, like bits and pieces, you know, and stuff. And that's fine. That's their niche and that's what they stick to. And then I'm a little different than that. Like I feel like that any job is a job. You know, it's paying my bills, right?
Sure.
You know, so if somebody just wants to paint colors, I can come and do that. You know, they might not want anything else. Maybe somebody just wants to start and do a room at the time. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I've had clients that have done that, and they, you know what? They've been my client for 8 years.
Right.
Might have taken them 8 years to do it, but they're doing it they're doing it the right way. They're getting good quality stuff. They're getting what they like. They don't really care about the trends. They're getting what they like, and you know, and it's turning out beautifully.
Well, so, I would imagine sometimes people can't do the whole thing.
They can't.
Or they want to see what work you do, and then
exactly, it's like a test.
Yeah. Yes. And then they are like, okay, I've done, now I want to do the living room.
Exactly.
Because,
And, you know, and I help them decide, okay, you got a lot of projects that you want to do. Your budget doesn't allow that. Where's the best place to start?
Right.
You know, where am I going to get the most bang for my money? You know, there's nothing more depressing than to spend $10,000 and not notice any difference.
Reap the benefit.
Right. Yes. In other words, you know, you want to make sure that it's just like you feel like you're getting somewhere when you spent $10,000, right?
Sure.
And so I kind of help with that transition and you know, and let them know, okay, well, if we do this and you're not ready to do that, then you're going to have to live with it not looking good.
Yeah.
Because it might not look good as you transition.
But you'll start here with just the paint.
I will.
I mean, you'll start with just the paint.
Right. Or
beyond
just the furniture.
Okay, you're picking furniture. You're helping people pick furniture.
Or maybe they just want a floor plan. Maybe she's kind of, you know, the him or her, whoever, you know, is good at picking out things, but maybe they're just not good with scale or they don't know what's going to fit. You know, so I can do a floor plan, you know, and say, okay, this is what works in your space. This is the size sofa you need. This is the size rug you need. This is the chairs you need. And maybe they want to do it themselves. Fine. I'll do the floor plan. So they don't make a mistake. I'm sure anybody listening to this program, one time in their life, has bought furniture that they thought was going to fit. And then they got it in their house, and it was like, oh, my Lord.
We're going to have to sell this.
Yes. It's either way too little. Most of the time, it's
too
way
big,
too big.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so that happens a lot.
Yes.
And so I can save you that hassle, you know, and that, you know, that mistake, which is an expensive mistake. Most of them you can't take furniture back. You know, you've bought it.
Right.
It's
yours.
It's yours, right?
I wonder if people see rooms bigger than they are. Like when they go to they have it measured and they go to look at furniture and they're like, oh my goodness, I love this. It will fit. It will, because my living room is this big. And then they get it home, like you say, it ends up being too big.
They have no conception. And it could be that maybe the size is the same, but doorways, doors, windows, all of that makes a difference on the way you can lay it out. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the part that people don't think about, right?
Yeah.
And let's just say you're building a house, for instance. A designer is a good thing, and this is something else that I do, is a good thing to bring in when you're doing your plans and stuff, because we all look at that plan differently. You know, an architect is thinking about the structure. They're thinking about what the outside looks like, how it's going to flow on the inside. A builder is looking at how much it's going to cost, right?
Yeah,
a designer is looking at window placement, how furniture is going to look in the space. Is the doors and windows in the right spot?
To handle the
furniture. Should the door be moved to the other side of the wall versus where it is, so that you don't walk into the bed, you see the headboard when you walk into the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the type of things that I look at. So when you get, you know, a designer, a builder, and an architect together, you have a beautiful thing, because we're all looking at something different. All our minds work differently, so you're getting the best outcome.
Okay, so if you're building a house or planning to build a house, contact Rhonda.
Yes. Because it
contact
will be,
her
it
early.
Will, even if that's all you want me to do, is just to look at the plans,
right?
I can do that for you. Because, you know, I have a lot of people that also are getting pricing, you know, like from a builder to either build a house or to do a remodel.
Right.
And I've got one, you know, right now she's called me in and she's just like, I don't know how to compare apples to apples from these builders.
Right.
And, you know, one's got this price, one's got this price, and it's a big difference. Like, why is that?
Right.
Right. So that's something else I can help people with. You know,
what are you going to really get?
What are you really going to get for this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this builder over here has $100 for a faucet allowance, but this builder over here has $500 for a faucet allowance.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, people. You can't get a faucet for $100.
Mm-hmm.
Not one that's going to last.
Not one. No, yeah, well,
right?
Okay.
You know, so that's what I can help them compare is, you know, apples to apples, because a lot of builders do it a different way. If a builder is giving you a lump sum and they're not giving you any information, that's a red flag. You know, if they have broke down what they're charging you, you know, and have allowances and stuff, that's what you want. You want to be able to see, where are these numbers?
If I brought my Lamborghini into the shop and they looked at it all over and said, well, that's going to be $5,000 to put it back, you know, her running shape.
You want to know what that is?
Yeah, I sure do.
Exactly.
I want to know it down to the nickel.
Yeah, I've gone in to help people before, and the builder's like, okay, it's going to be $78,000, okay? Well, how much of that is plumbing? How much of that is electrical? How much of that is my cabinet allowance? How much is my plumbing allowance? How much is my electrical allowance? It's not broke down at all. That's a red flag.
Right.
I can guarantee you he might be the cheapest, but there's a reason for that.
Right.
Right. So you got to be able to compare apples to apples when you're hiring people.
Now, I think I'm speaking to my wife here, we have a terrible window set up in the living room area between the living room and the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have? How many windows do we have? Got a double window in the dining room,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And essentially the walls are parallel to each other.
Okay.
So the dining room's over here to one side. And then we move directly into the open floor plan, directly into the living room.
Mm-hmm.
The living room, we have a fireplace and windows at each side.
Mm-hmm. Of the fireplace.
The fireplace. And then we have windows, of course, in the front.
Mm-hmm. Double windows.
In case we want to look.
When you look at the front of the house.
Look at the driveway or look at the, the street. Right. Every day the sun goes down and we get direct sunlight through four windows. Okay? Four of them.
Okay.
And they're essentially the same room. To me, that's wrong. To me, that's wrong. Melissa?
A lot of people would like that sunlight coming in. But if it's a glaring sunlight, right, that's a different story.
It's opposite the TV. It's opposite it's on the same wall as the TV.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at the TV.
I'm looking at the TV and the windows.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So there are things that you can do on those windows to help with that.
Yeah.
You know, to take that glare down but still get your light. There's films that you can put on your windows.
Yeah.
It needs to be professionally done because, you know, the film that you go get at the big box stores and try to do yourself, it's going to look like you did it yourself.
I was going to call Rico from the body shop just down the street here on Capitol Boulevard.
Just call me. I have a guy that I send out to my clients if we want that. There's also roller shades. Roller shades are a great thing because they have different opacity levels. So, in other words, they're shades that have like 5% of where you can see through it.
Yeah.
And when you pull that down, that means they're blocking 95%
right.
of that UVA, UVB. So you're still getting light through them. Some you can even still see through, like you could still see through it, you know, in the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But it's blocking that intense ray of sunshine, right? So that you don't have that glare everywhere.
All right. Rhonda Benvey, plumber, solving my problems, my wife's issues with the house on today's show, but also yours. If you want to call up, and you heard me describe my house poorly, but could you do any worse? Really? Call us up, explain your issue with your home, how it's set up, and is there any solution to this? We're kind of solutions people here. Rhonda Benvey, plumber of Help Me Rhonda Interiors. My wife, Melissa, Dave Alexander. We are on Making Your Home Great. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. News, talk, traffic, and curtains.
Curtains.
and stuff like that. Rhonda Benvey, plumber is here, along with my wife, who's got a question. Rhonda, of course, is from Help Me Rhonda Interiors. Okay, what is the question?
I think this question was from you. I like this. I like what we have.
She said, feed me a question. So in the car, I said, all right, how about this? In a house that has no other flowers, is it okay to put flowered curtains on the windows?
With that color throughout the living room. I think if you were to add other flowers, it would kind of be too busy. Mm-hmm. Like if you have curtains with a heavy design on it, and it's not really flowers, it's kind of, well, I guess it is kind of I don't know what it is. Anyways, it's they're busy. The curtains are busy.
Okay.
But there's nothing else in that little room that's busy. So like the carpet is not something that would clash with that. It's neutral.
Right. So it's okay to mix patterns.
Okay.
You know, so like when I'm starting, you know, with a room, let's just say it's a blank room and it's the living room.
Yeah.
When I start with a client and we're picking out a new sofa, and that sofa comes with, let's say, four pillows, right? When I say to the client, we're going to start with the pillows, they go, what?
Uh-huh.
Right? And then at the end of it, I don't think I've ever had a client that didn't say, God, that made so much sense. You know, that made it so much easier. And the reason for that is when you're mixing patterns together, which is a good thing, that gives you, you know, different textures. You just want to make sure that everything is just not solid.
Yeah.
I'm a solid sofa girl. I don't like pattern on a sofa.
Yeah, me too.
So that's why you kind of pick your patterns first, and then you pick your solids, because that's going to bring you to the right color of solid. You know, so let's just say that we had a solid sofa, and then we had, you know, pillows that had maybe a pattern and a texture.
Yeah.
When I say texture, maybe it's just a woolly, you know, pillow, or, you know, a furry pillow or something. And then we pick up a pattern in maybe the side chairs that are there. Maybe it's not anything crazy. Maybe it's a stripe, diamond, you know, whatever, right?
Mm.
And then we pick a coordinating fabric that goes up on the, you know, the curtains. It that therefore can become a pattern that coordinates with all of that. It doesn't mean you can put a floral and floral together.
Okay.
What's so important about that is scale. You wouldn't put a really really busy, busy, busy floral with a big scale floral.
Right.
Scale has to be the same in any patterns that you put together. That's what makes them work. So if you, you know, had a little bitty bitty plaid with a big scale floral, that doesn't look as good as if you put a big scale floral with a big scale plaid. Does that make sense? Yeah, I know it's really hard to explain over the radio.
Fine.
It's easier to show you. You know, so scale is what makes patterns mix, obviously color,
right,
you know, too. But it's okay. I mean, if you can go look at some Better Homes and Gardens magazine, and they might have 6-7 different florals going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you
but
approve?
It works, yes, because it's all about the color and the scale and what they all kind of look like together. It's hard for me to explain. My brain just knows.
I just see, again, this is a circumstance where if you don't understand, call Rhonda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Call
exactly.
Rhonda and let her figure this out for you. The idea you're decorating your house, do you always have to keep with the same named type pattern in your house? In other words, I like Eames era, space era things. I just, you know, the jets and the swooshes and that. Can I do that in one room and the rest of the house is going to be country?
Absolutely. So your private spaces can be different, you know. In other words, you've got your little man cave.
Yes,
and you can do anything in that man cave you want to do.
Oh, did you hear that?
Right.
I
if
did.
It's your space,
my wife heard that. That's good.
And it's going to be the man cave. Nobody else is going to go in there but the men watch their games. If you want to make it all the football themed or golf themed or whatever you want to do, just do it.
Yeah.
You know, and there again, you want it to look nice and, you know, everything kind of coordinate, but it by no means has to match the rest of your house if it's a private space. Now, when I'm building a house from the ground up, I make sure that the elements of the home all go together, you know, right? In other words, you want all the colors in the house to coordinate. You want, you know, your bathroom colors to coordinate, and I mean, that countertop looks good with that countertop or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, your personal spaces, even though the bathrooms are coordinate with the rest of the house, you can always bring in, like, a different color. Let's just say the rest of your house is blues, but you really want your bedroom to be purple. Right, then we're going to pick the right purple that looks good with that blue.
Oh, that would be a game breaker. That would be a deal breaker for me.
So it all bedroom. Goes together.
Purple.
Barney purple.
No, there's other pretty purples.
That's right.
There are?
Yes.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Like if you did like a dusty blue color, then dusty purple color looks really good with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me put my wife on the spot.
Uh-oh.
Because Rhonda keeps mentioning things that are totally foreign to me. Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see undertones in colors? In other words, Rhonda might say, well, it's a blue, but it's got a gray undertone.
Uh-huh. Or a green undertone.
Do you see that?
I do. And that's where, like, the pillows can come in and you pull those undertone colors.
Right.
Or if the pillows have that, then that's where you bring in the curtains. But... Yeah. I think right now my house has a lot of blue in it, mm-hmm. and so maybe Dave thinks that we need to pull in some undertones.
No, I don't know what undertones are. And if you don't, what did I say today? Call Rhonda. All right. This is Making Your Home Great. Rhonda Benby Plummer with Help Me Rhonda Interiors on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, News Talk, Traffic, and Interiors with Rhonda Benvy Plummer of Help Me Rhonda Interiors, and my wife, Melissa, who's planning the rest of the show. So you go ahead.
Okay, I have two questions for you.
Okay.
One is, in the beginning, you were talking about... when a person comes in and says, okay, I want you to do this area, and then you say, okay, but that's great, but then this area is going to kind of, you know, look funny until we get... So if you have a dining room and a living room together, you know, mm-hmm. kind of an open floor plan, is that kind of like what you mean as far as, you know, if you start with the kitchen and remodel, and I assume you do remodeling.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So like the oven and the refrigerator, and you just want to like really make the kitchen pop, and you've got colors going in there that runs through the dining room, but then mm-hmm. you're leaving the living room behind. But like when you open the front door, you kind of see, wow, well, the living room's nice, but oh my gosh, that kitchen just pops way back there.
Right.
You know, is that kind of like what you meant when you don't do the whole area?
Exactly. So I think, you know, when I go and meet clients, that first appointment, and they're talking about what they want to do, they, you know, if they say, you know, our goal is to update the entire house, right? And we want to start with the kitchen. I would say, okay, we're going to update this space, but if you're not ready to do that dining room and living room now, right,
mm-hmm.
then that area for a little while might not match your kitchen if you truly want to update. If you are, you know, going to just start with the kitchen and it's going to be 2 or 3 years before you do anything else, you might want an update.
A combination of.
Right. In mm-hmm. other words, you might want to do the update, but still keep it the style that you kind of have. And that's kind of so hard to explain. But if somebody is a traditional person and they want to update, we can still kind of go transitional and it still blend with what you have. It might not be perfect, but at least it would blend. And so that's what a client has to decide. Can I live with it not looking good for
all
a little
together.
While, right?
Yeah.
Or do I wait and do this remodel when I can afford to do all three spaces at the same time? So that happens sometimes as well. If you watch HGTV, you know, chances are every time you see one of those shows and mm-hmm. they're remodeling that whole little space.
Yeah.
And there's a reason
mm-hmm.
for that,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you don't want it to look bad. Now, if it's going to be, okay, we're going to do this, then we're going to take a breather and do this 3 months later, anybody can live with it not matching for 3 months, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But 3 years would probably get on your nerves.
So timing is kind of important.
Timing is important. Thinking? So that's mm-hmm. what I'm discussing, you know, with them. And they might want, you know, a ballpark figure of what it's going to cost. They might have... You know, not knowing, they might have enough money to do all three of those mm-hmm. spaces and not even know it, right? So we talk about that. We talk about budget. Budget is, is something that I can definitely help you with and kind of give you a ballpark figure. And I base it on, you know, what your house is worth, you know. So my question, one of my questions might be, you know, do you know what your house, if you sold it today, would sell for? You know, I want to know, is it a $300,000 house? Is it a $600,000 house? Is it a $1 million house? You know, what's the deal? You know, because you got to keep your updates in a budget that is, you know, close to your house. You don't want to, you know, do a $150,000 kitchen when your house is worth $350,000, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because you're going to price yourself out of your neighborhood most likely.
And you're not going
to
get that money
back. Not going to get it. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of things that I help people with and help them to decide, you know, what they're going to do. Plus, you know, I have a team that can do the remodels. So I can help you, you know, from start to finish on that.
Mm-hmm. You're, to the point, the remodels could be to the point of knocking down a wall. It could be moving the kitchen island or removing the kitchen island.
Mm-hmm. It could.
Could be moving a sink 6 inches to the left or to it the could. Opposite side of the mm-hmm. kitchen.
Yep. All right. It could be that your, you know, your footprint is perfect. It's just that the kitchen hadn't been done in 25 years. Mm-hmm. And you know, but the footprint works. That's the cheapest remodel. Is
really?
When you don't have to change your footprint. You know, you're just updating what you got.
The paint, you know? the appliances, maybe the flooring.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the, you know, when you don't have to move the plumbing, the electrical, the HVAC and all of that, I mean, all that adds up when you have to move all of that.
I would imagine, the
least expensive type of remodel is when you keep the same footprint.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my second question is, and I assume you do this too, is bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a house with a shower and then two tubs, a garden tub and then a regular tub.
Right.
Well, first of all, we don't use tubs. But secondly, if we did use a tub, we would use one tub.
Right.
So what would be the purpose of somebody putting two tubs and a shower stall in there? And would it be cost effective? Would you get your money back if you went ahead and took out that one bathroom's tub and
made it a shower?
Yeah, and even a step-in, like a walk-in shower.
Right. So the rule of thumb is, you ask any realtor, you need at least one tub in the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
The trends today are definitely taking tubs out, especially those huge old garden tubs that nobody uses that are stuck in the corner of a bathroom, right?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many of those we've ripped out. You know, so It also depends on the person. You know, there's some people that live for their baths. You know, they want to have the nice, luxurious tub
with
a little ledge.
Yeah.
You know, they have a glass of wine, watch TV while they're in the tub. I mean, it really does depend on the person and the house, right? You know, if you've got this huge, you know, master bath or primary bath, as they want to call it these days, then if it's really, really big, you might want to incorporate a tub in it. Otherwise, it's going to look, you know,
empty.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The new trend for that is where they put the tub in the shower. It's called a wet room. You know, so in other words, everything is enclosed like it's a shower, but the tub is actually inside of the shower, which is a really very cool look.
Do you have to step over, or it's like a door and it closes? Oh, okay.
You know, they call that a wet room, and so it's like a freestanding tub would actually be inside of the shower because that makes the shower bigger. It takes up space, you know, because there's some big bathrooms out there in these some of these big houses, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the rule of thumb is if it's, you know, technically a kid's bathroom, you would want a tub in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But any other tub would really not be needed, really.
Mm-hmm.
The reason, you know, that most builders might do, a tub in every bathroom, maybe other than the master, is because it's a little bit more cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes some of the tile work away, and tile work is expensive. So doing a tub, you know, keeps from having to do, you know, a shower pan, you know, tile in the shower, you know, it's just a whole different ballgame. So that adds a lot of expense. So just to do a shower floor and what you have to do to it costs probably twice as much as a bathtub.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. just the floor part. And I don't even count the tile going up the walls in a shower.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You know, so, you know, it's just more cost-effective if a builder's doing a spec house or somebody's flipping a house or something like that. Mm-hmm.
But these things that you do
absolutely
come in and, like,
I rip that tub out in a heartbeat.
Right, and you give people ideas and, that's great.
And I always talk about the price point of your house, always, you know, because it's important. You know, you don't want to go and spend, like I said, $100,000, you know, on a kitchen, and you have, you know, a $300,000 house. You're not going to get it back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things are expensive these days, guys.
Yeah.
You know, like
notice.
Remodels. If you got a remodel quoted, you know, back before COVID, and it was $25,000, I guarantee you it's $40,000, $50,000 right now.
Wow.
For the same thing.
Is that just the product?
Product, labor.
Just
labor.
Everything is more now.
Everything is more.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about aging in place, in part because with the way interest rates are, there's no way I can sell this thing.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm just admitting this right now. But I'm on my... Let's just say I'm aging in place, no matter where I am.
Right.
So if I'm aging in place in this house, rapidly aging in place, I need to widen some doors.
You might need to widen some doors. Okay. You know, the most important ones would be obviously to your bedroom, to your bathroom, to any space that you are going to go to, you know, a
frequently.
Lot. And widening a door is not a hard thing to do. It is.
Really?
It is simple. You know, it's a cutout, a little extra cutout, a new door, a little bit of sheetrock work and paint. I mean, it's not an hard thing to do. When it becomes hard is where there isn't enough room to do that.
Right.
You know, and so you might have to rethink things. Aging in place is a big business right now, for sure.
Sure.
People are deciding to stay in their home just for the reasons you just said, you know, for, you know, interest rates or whatever.
That's...
Some are doing it just because they're going, okay, I've got this house here that I've just about paid off, and it's, you know, 2,500 square feet, and I could go over here to this new, you know, retirement community, get half the house for twice the amount of money. Why would I do that?
Right. Yes.
You know, it does not even make any sense. So some people are just trying to figure that out. Can we put an elevator in the house if their master's upstairs?
Oh, my.
Right?
Yeah.
Can we build onto their house if their master is upstairs? Can we build a master downstairs? I've done, you know, that with clients before.
Right.
There are typically ways to do it. Where you have a problem is if you have like a townhouse or a condo or something like that. That makes it a little bit more complicated. But if you've got just a single family home, usually there's something that you can do. A closet, sometimes big closets can be turned into an elevator. You can put even if you got crooked stairs, but straight stairs especially, you can add a lift, you know, if you need it. You know, to get upstairs if you're not able to. So many things that you can do.
Melissa, I think we would benefit from an elevator in our house.
Okay, and where would we go? We have a one-story
home. Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Are you going to go hang out in the attic?
Okay, sure.
Is that going to be his man cave?
Yeah, it's going to be his man cave.
I want my space-age stuff up there. I want my man cave in the attic, and I don't want to climb stairs. Thank you very much. If I have to lean down because I'm in the attic, that's fine. I'm used to that.
And then being said, you know, some of these, you know, new communities that are catered to, you know, 55 and over, I mean, they're great. I mean, they have great amenities. The houses are already built for that. You already have the 36-inch doors. It's a very open floor plan, all on one level. You know, they really do cater to that. So you have to decide, is it worth it? Because they are not cheap.
You're not the first person who's tried to talk me into a senior community. So I just feel, you know, this is a normal conversation with me. All right. We are on with Making Your Home Great. Rhonda Benvey Plummer of Help Me Rhonda Interiors. My wife, Melissa, helping me do the show since I don't know nothing but nothing in interior work. But that's, you know, that's the charm of the show. We're on Making Your Home Great, FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, News, Talk, Traffic, and today, Making Your Home Great, Rhonda Benvey Plummer of Help Me Rhonda Interiors, and my wife, Melissa, on talking about the interior home, and we haven't moved on to art.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
So I think you pretty much know that we do the farm style.
Right.
And what I do is I have different things like in clusters. Like I mm-hmm. might have something over on this wall that kind of like a shelf and then something underneath it with a few things on it. And mm-hmm. then over by the door, I have something else that's kind of pieced, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, is it okay to just hang a picture on the back of your couch? I mean, just a piece of art. I mean... Right.
So when you cluster decorate, I call it, on the walls,
mm-hmm. yeah.
sometimes you can get too much of that
too
going
busy.
And
mm-hmm.
it gets really, really busy.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that that's done in such a way that the balance of the room is correct. And what I mean by that is mixing bigger pieces of artwork in the space, you know, and then you've got that maybe on our smaller type wall. Because you can get it where it's just crazy busy. You know, like sometimes I'll do like travel walls or, you know, like family portrait wall or whatever. And I tend to do those in spaces where, you know, it's a long hallway or like, in other words, what do I do here? Because it's just kind of crazy. So I tend to do those types of, you know, displays where it's like, you know, maybe family pictures or what. I did a really cool one time. It was the coolest. These people had such great pictures, but they had old pictures back on both sides of the family,
yeah.
like three generations, which is unheard of,
right.
I'm thinking, on both sides.
Right.
You know, so they had like three generations and then them and their family and their kids. And, you know, we were able to like make the prints and stuff the size I want. I got all frames and then just made this beautiful wall,
yeah.
you know, and it was great. And you got to plan these walls, you know, just throwing stuff up, you know, randomly doesn't work. When you do a gallery wall, which is kind of what they're called, you have to think about three elements. You got the frame, you got the mat, and you got the picture itself. Of those three things, two things need to match. You know, so if you're doing black frames, white mats, then that means you could do black and white and color pictures and it all look good. If you're doing, you know, all color pictures and black frames, you could do different color mats. You see, you see where I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean the frames have to match. They just need to be the same color, you know.
And what about the paint behind it?
Paint behind it, you know, really doesn't matter too much. I always say you cannot go wrong with a black frame.
Because it always makes the paint pop.
It always
yeah.
makes it mm-hmm. look good. You, mm-hmm. If in doubt, just do black. Because there's no picture or anything that you could put in a black frame and it not look good. It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I always say black lets the art be the star of the show. It makes, it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
The black frame goes away.
All right, now guys like to keep their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That they enjoyed when they were 12. Okay. Am I correct to say there really is no proper adult use of a velvet Elvis in a modern home?
On the wall? Absolutely
on the wall.
Not.
Yeah.
No?
I would say I've done some crazy things.
Okay.
And, you know, because, you know, it's important to people.
Yeah.
A guitar wall. You know, maybe
yeah.
they were a musician. And, you know, I bought, like, really cool displays for all of their collection of guitars.
Yeah.
And it's cool,
That's
you know.
Good.
And then I've had people who collected model cars.
Okay.
Right? You know, cool. I mean, I'm talking about, like, really cool model cars. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the just beautiful.
Yeah.
So I did, like, shadow boxes. You know, and displayed,
oh, yeah.
like, he would have, like, let's just say he had, like, a 1956 Chevrolet and then that same model in, like, 1964.
Yeah.
Right. Then I did like shadow boxes and put both of them in there. Had plaques made. I mean, he loved these things. These were like his babies. Had plaques made, you know, and got these up on the wall. And Lord, he was thrilled. Right. So I just did one where they had albums. Like albums were really cool thing to him. That's what he loves. He has his albums. He has his turntable. He still listens to them.
Yeah.
And so his art on one wall, one big wall, was I got these ledgers and have all his albums going all the way across the wall and all the way up the wall. And it was balanced out by window treatments on the other side that were the same height. And then this cool piece of artwork on the very back wall that was like an album with a turntable, and it was kind of abstracty.
Yeah.
You know, so you can do your collectibles in such a way where they're cool and they look good. You just got to use a little creativity to do it.
And that's what we would get you for.
That's exactly right. I can come up with some cool things.
That's right.
Yeah.
And how about bowling trophies? I mean, after you're about 13 or 14,
those
the bowling
need to go
trophies
in boxes.
Need to
Let
go,
me tell you a little story about my family. We were bowlers.
Yes.
We were actually in the paper. We had over 600 bowling trophies. Growing up, between me, my brother, my mom, and my dad.
Yes.
And they were in the garage out in boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but we had a lot.
I mean, if you think about it, these days, young people get trophies for having paid the admission to the right to the thing. They get a trophy.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Everybody gets a trophy.
And
which I'm not
means,
a fan of, by the way.
Neither am I, but without stepping into the political arena, the problem is little Johnny is not particularly good at this sport.
Right, right.
And he's got trophy after trophy after trophy.
Sometimes a good solution,
yes,
if a child doesn't want to get rid of something, as I've used this a lot, is like, let's take a picture of it and make a picture album.
Yeah.
Oh, good
idea. So that way they still have their memory. It's still there, but it's a whole lot more compact. It works.
That's a great idea.
It really does
work.
They can
lay in bed at night and sit and look at their pictures.
All right. Solutions like that are why you pick up the phone and call Rhonda. Rhonda, would you please tell me, what number should we call?
919-263-9054 or go to helpmerhondainteriors.com.
And at helpmerhondainteriors.com, I assume you have samples or pictures of things that you've done.
I don't do a whole lot of pictures because I'm really bad at pictures, but
okay.
I can always send people pictures if they want.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have many up on my website, quite honestly.
And when people contact you, generally, what is the conversation like? I mean, you're not able to help them on the phone necessarily.
Right. Usually when you're calling my junior designer, and she kind of explains, you know, how we work.
Yeah.
You can ask her any questions she can answer. If she can't answer it, then she's going to ask me, and we're going to, you know, make sure all your questions are answered before you ever make that appointment.
And when you go or when she goes for that first appointment, what's she looking at?
So what I am looking at, that first appointment is that initial consult. It's like, okay, here I am. I'm meeting you. You're getting to meet me. We get see if we can work together, if you like my personality, because I'm, you know, who I am, right? You know, in other words, I come in, you know, I'm not all stuffy. I'm kind of kid around, you know, this is kind of my personality. And then we talk about, you know, what it is you want to do. And then we kind of come up with a plan. You know, this would be the next steps. And then I would be working on that plan, depending on what you want. It's just so many different things that people want. If you just want paint colors, and I'm going to bring my paint deck with me, we're going to pick paint colors.
Very good.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Rhonda. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And thank you, Melissa.
Of course.
My wife helped out on today's show, which is great. Because I don't know nothing about no interiors.
You do just fine.
I love doing the show. Hey, next hour, we're going to talk to Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, the whole show. We'll talk about attics and crawl spaces on FM 98.5, AM 680. WPTF.
The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF on a Saturday afternoon. Nothing better than just kick back and talk home repair and remodeling and, you know, crawl spaces. Brock Evans of Triangle Radio and Barrier. I'll bet you at some point you just don't want to talk about crawl spaces.
It does consume the majority of my conversations on a daily basis.
All right. And on his sixth day, he instead of kicking up his feet, he's here to talk about crawl spaces and attics, which are selling right now. What is the predominant product that the phone's ringing off about?
Honestly, lately it's mostly been insulation.
Yeah.
Now, the last week and a half, 2 weeks, we've got the rains have come back.
Yes.
And I think when I looked at the weather report this morning, we're supposed to get several days of rain this next week as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, unfortunately, I couldn't mow a week ago, you know, because it was raining and everything. So I went out there and mowed today, and the grass was nearly to my knee.
Yeah.
So that the cleanup there was fun. But now that the rains are back, where the temperatures are starting to cool off a little bit.
Right.
So this last week, we got an influx of phone calls, people saying that it smells funny. You know, once the temperatures come back a little bit, scale back, the moisture comes back in, that's when, we've said before, you know, when mold is waking up, organic growth is waking up, and you start getting these funny, musty smells in the house. So the last week has been a lot of, hey, it stinks in here. Can you guys come out here and take a look?
You never suggest that you check your spouse to make sure. that would be inappropriate.
We always start off by asking, do you have any teenage boys? Because there's a chance that could be the smell.
Do they play sports, and how big is the pile
in
the room? Because it does smell kind of the same.
Right. It's very close.
In fact, if you've got babies, and if you don't wash a onesie right away, it gets moldy.
Yeah.
It does. Now, what kind of mold are people reporting?
Well, if you're smelling the mold, if you're getting musty smells, that's white mold, which is the most common mold that we run into. It's kind of like a bathroom mold.
Yeah.
Messes with your allergies, you know, sneezing fits, watery eyes. Some people who are asthmatic can have asthmatic reactions to it.
Right.
But that's the stuff that kind of, you know, if you've ever opened up a closet in the back of the house that smells musty in there, that's typically a white mold growing either on the clothing or a cardboard box that's in that closet.
Yeah.
It also is the easiest to track. You know, you get down there and it's like, whoa, it stinks in this corner. You pull the insulation down. It's like, well, there it is. So it's common. You just, there's steps that can be taken to prevent it from ever happening in the first place, which would be nice if a lot of these builders would design the houses during construction to be sealed and conditioned, then we get to, you know, bypass mold in the first place. But since most of them don't, the majority of the homes that we work on are existing homes, they're already constructed, they're 30, 40 years old. And they're ready to make an investment in the house.
And should the builder have thought about this? I mean, of course, they're trying to sell at the lowest price possible.
Yeah, that's most of the time what it boils down to. The good ones, and not even all the good ones. I mean, even some regular ones that we work with. I say regular ones. They're still good guys, you know, good companies, but they're not high scale. We're not talking about $3 million homes, right? Some of these guys, yes, they build the houses non-ventilated, so you don't have any of those vents on the outside of the house. Those openings have just been sealed during construction.
Yeah,
and on the inside, instead of insulating the subfloor. Now, keep in mind, let's say we're just use a basic house. It's a 1,500 square foot, one-story ranch.
Okay.
That means your crawl space is 1,500 square feet. It's going to be the same floor print.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to put 1,500 square feet of insulation on your subfloor, R19. That's a code requirement.
Okay.
Or you insulate the walls of that crawl space during construction, and then you do not need to insulate the subfloor. So instead of putting 1,500 square feet of R19, the walls in that crawl space are probably half that square footage, maybe 700 square feet.
Yeah.
So just seal the walls. Now, you now need to put in a dehumidifier, so there's a little bit of an additional cost.
Yeah.
But you have a fully encapsulated crawl space with a dehu.
Right.
And by the way, those are capital gain improvements. If you own a house now and we come out and fully encapsulate your crawl space, you get a capital gain affidavit. Okay. This actually increases the value of the home because it's the same thermal boundary as the rest of the property. So
and I'm guessing, knowing very little about the two products, the insulation is going to wear out, literally, it's going to start hanging, and it's going to drop.
Yeah.
Within, what, 20 years, 15 years?
Depends on the moisture, you know, depending on how much moisture is in the crawl space. Insulation absorbs moisture. It gets trapped in the insulation, causes it to be, you know, waterlogged and saggy and heavier, and then it kind of starts sagging down and falling down. I always ask people, most people are not aware of this. So for the listeners out there that want a little bit of, you know, out of left field knowledge here, the more I explain it, the more it's going to make sense.
Okay.
But most people, they want insulation on their subfloor because it makes their floors warmer. They're under the impression that that's why it's there. Okay, well, if you pull the insulation out of the subfloor, you know, my floors are going to be cold. So we've got a lot of people here that have moved down from up north.
Yes.
Okay, Jersey, New York, you know, even Vermont. I had a customer this last week from Vermont. These are places that are very, very cold.
Yes.
And if you ask these people, let's say we build you a brand new house, brand new insulation, it's February, and you don't have a heater, it's going to be just as cold in your house as it is outside of your house. You can freeze to death if you don't have a fire in there at least, right?
Yeah.
Insulation doesn't stop cold air. Cold air goes through it like it's not even there, like Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Insulation's designed to retain and block hot air.
Okay.
So you turn a heater on in that space, all that insulation around you will help retain that heat and make that room warmer.
Sure.
So insulation on your subfloor does not make it warmer. The cold air goes right through that.
Right.
The reason it's on your subfloor is mold cannot grow in insulation. Insulation is not an organic form. It can't feed off of it. It can grow on the paper backing of insulation, but that's why when you insulate a subfloor, you're supposed to use paperless batted insulation. It's to protect your subfloor from mold growth.
Okay.
So if you have a fully encapsulated crawl space with a dehumidifier, it's no longer an environment conducive to mold.
Right.
So you can pull all that insulation out. It no longer serves a purpose.
Right.
So, I mean, for any common sense thinker, all that stuff. You know, fiberglass, you go down under your house or in your attic, you turn on a flashlight, you can see all that stuff floating around in the air.
Yeah.
Right? Well, if the purpose in doing a crawl space is for indoor air quality, the cleaner the quality of the air under the house, there's no mold growth, the cleaner the air quality in the house. Why would you want fiberglass down there floating around in the air?
I wouldn't.
Just let us pull that out. Let's insulate the walls, put in a dehumidifier, pull that stuff out. Now you can come down here and eat lunch.
Okay, now let's talk about that fellow from Vermont.
Yeah. He's a nice guy, by the way.
Is he a good guy?
Well,
that's good. And they tend to be in Vermont.
I didn't have to explain much to him. I said, oh, you're from Vermont? You know what cold weather's like.
Yeah.
That was an easy conversation.
I grew up in an area where, you know, the floor was cold in the morning.
Right.
You know, until mom turned on the thermostat, she cranked it up. But the whole point, when you've put a dehu and you've pulled down that insulation and you've covered the walls, you've done something to the floor, is the floor going to be cold?
No. Actually, when you encapsulate a crawl space, you insulate the walls, right?
Yeah.
Well, the three options to insulate the walls, all three of them have foam components.
Mm-hmm.
We either can do spray foam, foam board, or a proprietary product called Triplex, which has a foam insert.
Okay.
Now, the reason that's important, foam is the only insulation on Earth that stops cold air transfer.
Okay.
That's why you can hold a styrofoam cup with ice water and your hand's not freezing.
Right.
All of these thermoses that people are going crazy over that are ridiculously priced, they're
yes,
all wrapped
they are.
In foam on the inside. They're self-insulated.
Right.
So foam stops cold air. Well, okay. If we're insulating every square foot of the walls down there, we've sealed the vents, we've sealed up around all your utility penetrations with crack and joint foam. We use Hilti.
Right.
There is no cold air or warm air that's getting in your crawl space.
Yeah.
Crawl space stays 55 to 75 degrees 12 months out of the year.
Right.
So no more frozen pipes, no cold floors, no hot floors. It's actually very nice. Those are just some added benefits. It's not why you do it. You do it for indoor air quality.
Right.
But those are added benefits you get by doing it.
Okay. That's crawl space. We're also going to talk about the attics when you're done with the crawl space. And I don't know that you've discussed all there is. I want to ask you about foam because I keep getting people who say, we sprayed foam mm-hmm. on the. I saw a thrift store. There was a metal roofed thrift store, and they went in and they foamed the whole stuff.
Yep.
I mean, they took the joists. They took the. And then I've seen other people who just foam where the joist is, and I think people are applying this product incorrectly.
We've seen it both ways. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Coming up next, this is Making Your Home Great. Brock Emmons, our regular co-host, is now in the hot seat, in the chair, to talk about his business, which is Triangle Radiant Barrier. FM 98.5, AM 680 WPTF. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, Making Your Home Great. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier is here, and we're going to give away a High Park Bar and Grill gift certificate. You've got to come up with a question relating generally to crawl spaces or insulation. He knows so much about insulation. Brock has to stop himself before he gets in the weeds because we have to make it accessible to people. You do.
Yeah. Well, and look, if the listeners out there have a question, even if it's not something that pertains directly to me, you can still reach in and ask. And if I can answer it, great. If not, I can at least get you in contact with someone who can.
And
I work with a lot of people.
And you have in the past done roofing. You've flipped houses.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've done, which means you've done general construction and, any question you've got. It's funny because I don't want to discourage you about teaching about insulation. It can be complicated, which is reason number one to call somebody rather than just rip out all that insulation and put it back up.
Well, I'll put it this way.
Yeah.
I cannot use any names.
Oh. Yeah.
But a very, very large construction company, national brand construction company, has reached out to us and asked that we assist them in doing all of their crawl space and attic insulation jobs for their customers.
Yes.
Luckily for us, they reached out to us based on a reputation.
Yeah.
And whoever they were using prior to that kind of fell through, so we were in the right place at the right time.
Good.
But it's a large company with a lot of sales guys and a lot of technicians.
Yeah.
And they know enough about crawl space and insulation to know that they needed to bring me in to train their entire sales staff.
Yeah.
So it's not easy. It's not something that you're able to learn overnight. I'm now, spending the majority of my days training salesmen at other companies on how to properly engage customers to address their concerns correctly. The last thing you want to do is go in there and sell them something that doesn't do what the homeowner is wanting. So
right.
I'm really focused on trying to make sure that everybody has the right information. That just speaks to, it is very important when doing any kind of project at your home to ensure a lot of different variables. You know what you want. You find a contractor that you know and you trust, or at least someone you know and trust can personally vouch for those.
Yeah.
You do it right the first time, right? You don't want to go back and have to do this work over and over again.
Right.
So it's, that's life.
Yeah. Well, that's, it's good that you're training people, because as you well know, and Craig, the floor guy, would back you up on things, and Rhonda would back you up. It's sometimes the knowledge base, as opposed to the ability to swing a hammer,
yeah,
the knowledge base that's missing. So let's talk about foam insulation.
Okay.
What is the proper use? Is there a there's a purpose for foam underneath your house in the crawl space?
Yes.
In fact, that's one of the options you offer.
Correct.
What kind of foam is that?
So any type of foam that you use in a crawl space, you want it to be a closed cell foam.
Okay.
For the listeners that are not aware of the difference, it's pretty easy to remember. Closed cell is closed. It's non-permeable. It does not breathe. It does not allow moisture, humidity, anything to pass through it.
Okay.
So it's perfect for a crawl space. That's the whole point. We're trying to keep that stuff out of there so we can keep low humidity and better indoor air quality.
Right.
In an attic, you can do a closed cell foam in a lot of different states in the nation. I do not recommend doing it in North Carolina. North Carolina, we have a relative humidity problem.
We do, yeah.
So customers that will blow a closed cell foam in their attic, a good majority of them develop moisture issues in the house. So yeah. If we're going to come out, we're going to do an open cell foam. Open cell is open. It's permeable. It breathes. It doesn't allow moisture and humidity to be trapped. Okay, so it's perfect for doing it in an attic space.
Yeah.
Now, there is pros and cons. Closed cell foam, you get a better R value per inch than an open cell foam.
Okay.
But you might cause a moisture problem.
Yeah, okay.
So where this has been problematic are for builders and people that are doing home renovations. Because in North Carolina, if you want to convert a portion of your attic space into living space and you want to use foam,
right,
we have to get it to R30. That is the code.
Yeah.
R30 in a closed cell foam is only 5.5 inches.
Okay.
In an open cell foam, it's 8.1 inches.
Am I going to spend more on this?
Are you what?
Am I going to spend more on the proper type foam?
Because you need more depth of it, yes. Unfortunately, but I will tell you, if your rafters are framed in with 2x8s, which yep. most of them are,
okay,
you can't hang drywall on those if we blow it into 8.1. You end up having to fur out all of the rafters.
Right.
Again, it's a good reason to bring in someone that knows what they're talking about during the construction phase. Because if you tell your insulation guy before the house is even framed, oh, we want to do foam, that guy's going to say, okay, I would frame in your roof with 2x10s, not 2x8,
right.
So we don't have to fur anything out. We can blow it all in one day. It's a process. You want to make sure you do everything in order to make it seamless.
Otherwise, you're taking thin pieces of wood
yeah.
and just nailing it on, and then you got to, you know, there's another step.
That's right.
To it, even if it seems like a small step. Woody is on the line from Apex. Woody, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Good. What's going on?
This is fantastic. All I wanted to do was tell everybody that I was riding down the road. Of course, I listen to you guys when I come home from my daughter's
Good.
Place in Wake Forest.
Good.
And listen to Brock and everybody you have on there. And I just that last passage that you and he conversed on just a few minutes ago about the installation, just, you know, everybody should have heard that 5 minutes or 10 minutes of discussion you had
yes.
about installation, because, you know, I have to admit, you know, I'm 70 years old almost, and I have to admit I didn't really you know, about insulation is just all we ever, most people know, is just, well, you got to have insulation there. You know, it's got to be R19 on the outside.
Right.
Inside is, doesn't have to be, but R12. But what he explained about that basement situation is just remarkable. I mean, I think that information he passed along, everybody just, I think is a fantastic thing. So it's a daggone shame that everybody in Apex and Raleigh and everybody around here didn't hear that conversation.
Right.
Woody, I appreciate you saying that.
Woody, we're going to send you a High Park Barn Grill gift certificate. Have we gotten your information?
Yes, he did. Guy said that. I said, well, I didn't have any idea. I just want to call up and say, Brock nailed it a while ago. So, I just wanted to pass that along. I've been listening to PTF since I was at North Carolina State.
Good.
In the early 80s.
Woody, I got to go because news young lady is warming up.
That's right. Yeah, let somebody talk that needs something.
All right.
Thank you, Woody.
Thank you, Woody.
Yeah.
Take care. This is WPTF. FM 98.5 AM 680 WPTF. That was good that Woody called in.
No, that was a great phone call. And, you know, Woody, if you're still listening, I really appreciate that kind of stuff. You know, my partners and I, we feel more like educators than sales guys. We enjoy, you know, walking customers through this is how it works. Right. These are your options. And I've said before that, you know, a society that is educated.
Yeah.
Don't make many mistakes. It's you remember back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, the news was the news, right?
It was,
there was no opinions.
Yeah.
We had a well-educated society, a well-informed society.
Yeah.
Now, that's how we attack this. There's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah.
Let me make sure you understand how this works. And once you have that info, I get to step back and ask me any questions you have, pick whatever option you think is best suited for you.
Right.
And 99% of the time, the homeowner's like, nope, got it. I want to go with option two, and we're done.
And it's not the same from state to state.
No.
You started out in Texas.
Right.
Texas, what would you suggest? I mean, for a crawl space or for an attic, that would be different about with North Carolina.
Sure. Yeah, it was a learning curve when I got here. I'd been used to insulating homes in Texas for many years before I got up here. You know, there's no crawl spaces in Texas, mostly.
It's really
primarily slab foundation.
Okay.
So all your plumbing runs in your slab under the house, so when there's a plumbing leak, it's a catastrophic problem.
Wow.
That's one of the great things about crawl spaces. And, you know, being in Texas, when I got up here and I realized everything here is a crawl space, I was like, gross. I don't want to crawl under the house and have to learn how to do all this stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
This is much more difficult than just dealing with attic insulation. That's you know, easy.
Yeah.
So it was a big learning curve. But, you know, you get down there and you're like, well, the water heater's down here, so it's not going to explode in the attic. That's a bonus. All the plumbing is down here.
Yeah.
So if there's a plumbing leak, it's not going to, you know, flood your attic, and now you've got a huge problem.
Right.
Oh, okay, the air handling unit and all the ductwork is down here, so it's not trying to do the job in a 140-degree attic.
Yeah.
So I kind of realized, I think crawl space is what you really want.
Yeah.
Now, the drawback is there's a humidity problem, and they can get very moldy.
Right.
So just seal it, put in a dehu, and you're living pretty well.
You talked about white mold.
Yeah.
And we never moved into the other conversation on black mold. I'm assuming that black mold is when it's really gotten bad. I mean, the black mold doesn't show up first.
No, not typically. We normally don't run into black mold unless there is a water problem.
Okay.
Okay, so that's most of the time why you never find mold in an attic. It's too hot. There's no humidity up there. People are, there's mold in the attic. Probably not. If there's mold up there, you have bad ventilation. But most of the time, it's too hot. Now, you will run into black mold in an attic if there's a roof leak that they never got corrected, or they fixed 3 years ago and never remediated the mold.
Yeah.
We run into black mold in crawl spaces if you're, you know, the faucet on the outside of the house,
Yeah.
That punches through the wall and goes into the crawl space. Well, if there's a leak on the inside and it's spraying water everywhere,
yeah.
we end up running into black mold. Or if the toilet wax ring has not been doing its job, we can find black mold on the subfloor underneath the toilet or a bathtub
because
it's constantly pumping moisture into it.
Right.
Black mold is the dangerous stuff. It's the stuff you need to be careful of remediating.
Well, my dad's house was black mold all over the place. He hadn't had it treated. It was the way the house sat at the end of a hill,
mm-hmm.
and it just went. You know, all the water
came downhill.
All the water came down. He did everything he could to get rid of it.
Right.
But that was the case. And black mold has a health issue. Associated with it.
Black mold consumes whatever it's growing on very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, if you ever pull off a piece of drywall and you find a bunch of black mold on the wall stud.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to find photos online where it had nearly eaten through the wall stud.
Yeah.
So it consumes what it grows on, so it can very quickly cause structural repair issues, which is exorbitantly expensive.
Which is why my dad's house sold as is.
Right. Yeah.
we took a beating on it, but it was as is.
It's an expensive problem to have.
Yeah.
But yes, there are major health concerns. So.
Okay. Let's look on the bright side. It's not like it's going to... It's not like there's no solution. There is a solution.
There is. If we can get to it before it's caused structural damage,
yeah.
Oh boy, you want us to dry ice blast that.
Yeah.
So the problem with black mold, it is cancerous if the spores are released, which is why you don't scrub black mold.
Okay.
You spray it with fungicide, you kill it dead, then you go down there with a hazmat suit and a big expensive mask with reloadable cartridges.
Sure.
And you use a HEPA vacuum cleaner to try to vacuum it up and pull as many spores as you can. It's very tedious and it doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
But dry ice blasting...
Yes.
That freezes the mold dead on contact. We're talking negative 131 degrees Fahrenheit. So
right.
nothing survives. Kills the mold.
Yeah.
Comes out with so much velocity, it actually starts peeling the mold off the wood, and it gets the embedded staining the mold left out of the wood. It is by far the best option. So when there's a hospital that finds a bunch of mold under the hospital... And they can't evacuate the building. They can't use fungicides to go down there and fog it out. We go in and use dry ice. Chemical free, kills it dead. Actually makes it smell pretty nice down there, like a cooler.
That's good.
And in the summer, there's nothing better than being in a 90-degree crawl space with a dry ice gun.
Oh, yeah.
It's like your own personal air conditioner.
It's cooler.
It's great. We wish we could do it in attics, but we don't run into a lot of mold in the attic.
Well, this is the thing. You know, when you send people to attics, when the weather is like it's been,
right,
you're having to pull them out in the early afternoon.
About noon, 1 o'clock is about as late as we'll let them stay. So these jobs that, you know, should take a day to do, take two. It ends up costing the homeowner more money. And it's why we try to tell people, guys, if you know you need insulation, January and February and March, you get it done real cheap. We got great discounts. We're trying to keep our guys busy. We can get you in very quickly.
Yeah.
You wait till May, June, July, and August. I think last time I looked, we're 5.5 weeks out right now.
Wow.
Book solid. So it's like, we'll get to you when we can. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's talk about this radiant barrier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not your only solution for the attic.
No.
There are multiple solutions. You want to start at the bottom level, or like the cheapest, easiest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do standard blown-in fiberglass. Okay,
yeah.
So if your house is 15 years old and the insulation's not as, good as it used to be, if it's not waterlogged, if you don't have a roof leak or you haven't had any critters up there using the bathroom in the insulation, we don't have to pull that out.
Okay.
We can blow in 3 or 4 inches. We call those top-offs. Those are fairly cheap. We can get you back up to, 13, 14 inches of depth as if it was a brand-new house.
Yeah.
And no problem.
It's natural that it settles.
It does. It is it's a deteriorating insulation. All fiberglass deteriorates over time, which is why you can see it floating around in front of your flashlight.
Yeah.
Even batted insulation. Now, we do batted insulation. That deteriorates at a slower rate.
Yeah.
It's about the only difference. Okay, same R value. It just deteriorates slower.
Yeah.
We can do attic cat. We can do rock wool. Okay, we can do soundproofing insulation, open and closed cell spray foams. I've got 12 different types of radiant barriers that all do different things. So it's important to make sure you get the right product installed the right way to ensure that everything is working properly.
I was going to compete with you, but 12 different products is kind of a lot to learn.
Yeah. My manufacturer loves us. We really go out and take out everything in their product line and push it, because they all have their own specific use. If a customer says, look, I've got a new water heater I just put down in my crawl space. I do not want to seal my crawl space, but I'm concerned about in the winter, it's having to run overtime because it's freezing in the crawl space and the water's taking a while to get warm. I have a product we can go down there and wrap around the water heater that will help to retain the heat.
Right.
Now, you cut holes in the top to make sure it ventilates properly, but it increases the life expectancy of your unit, and it's not having to run as hard to get the water warm.
Yeah.
Well, I've got 10 other products that won't do that.
Right.
So it's about getting the right product installed the right way to fix your problem.
All right. So you put in one of your options for radiant barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens?
And then what happens?
Yeah. I mean, what's the benefit?
If we went in and did an attic install, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 35% on your utility.
Okay.
In the summer. If we install it on the floor of the attic, you can see a 20 to 25% 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
We do it on the rafters. You'll also see an impact on utility usage, but also prolonging the life expectancy of your air handling unit, which is in that attic, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's having to try to produce cold air working in a 140-degree attic.
To me, it's insane that there is an air handling unit. Literally, the air conditioning or the air conditioned air comes from this unit that's in a 140-degree environment.
Mm-hmm. Which is why it's nice when it's under the house. But if you have a two-story house, you might have two units.
Yeah.
For those who have a two-story house and they have one unit, if it's under the house, that means the air has to travel all the way from the crawl space to the top floor before it reaches the bedroom it's blowing into.
Okay.
So they try to put the air handling unit closest to the level of which it's going to be doing its job. So if you want HVAC on your top floor to run efficiently, the most efficient place to put it is in the attic, and it's not really that efficient. So if we can go in there and cool the attic off, so it's only having to produce air in a 90-degree attic. Oh, that system that, you know, goes out 9-10 years later, you might get 15-16 years out of it.
Right. Now, I want to approach a topic that you know, I know you get your back up when we talk about this. Code. We're going to talk about code and radiant barrier, because I know there's a... At one point when we were doing this show, there was sort of a mismatch between code. They didn't understand that radiant barrier would do the job. All right, we'll talk about that coming up next. This is Making Your Home Great. FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. Making Your Home Great with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. I'm Dave Alexander. Last few minutes of the show, we should talk about the fact that at one point you told me that the radiant barrier alone could be a great solution for attics.
It can be, yes.
It can be. Now, what about code? What do we do to match code?
Right. So every state kind of has their own code regulations, depending on where you are across the country. Some of the codes are the same, okay, but each state kind of regulates their own codes. The North Carolina code legislation book, essentially, North Carolina only recognizes R-rated, R-value insulation, R-15, R-20, R-30, R-40.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are only familiar with R-rated insulation. That's why they say, oh, it's spray foam. What's the R value? It's mm-hmm. a resistance rating. California, Texas, Oklahoma, Nevada, Arizona, a lot of these desert states, radiant barrier is written into code. Okay, during construction, stuff like that, because they all see the incredible value that it substantially drops utility usage, right? Which is what the state cares about in the first place.
Right.
Works very well. All the customers seem to be really happy. North Carolina does not recognize E. E is an ERIC, E-rated insulation. It's an emissivity scale. We've all heard of low E windows.
Yeah.
It's why you can stand in a high-rise in New York with all the sunlight coming through, but you're not sweating like a banshee.
Yeah.
Right? It's reflecting the heat. So instead of it absorbing heat, which is what R-value insulation does, it works like a sponge.
Yeah.
It just reflects it. So it doesn't have R rating. So North Carolina says, we don't recognize E-rated insulation. You can have it in addition to...
Mm.
the standard fiberglass insulation we want you to have per code. So
yeah.
Most of our installs are already existing homes.
Yep.
And we're going in and doing a radiant barrier in the attic, either over their existing insulation or underneath the rafters, which does not violate any code. And everybody seems to be happy with it.
Adding something to code doesn't seem to bother them.
No.
Okay.
Because it's in addition to.
Yeah.
So they don't have a problem with it. And what's crazy, this is the fun part. Okay, we all have the same electric company. I'm not going to mention the electric company, but we all have the same electric company.
Yes, we do.
I have customers that are showing me letters sent to them from that electric company recommending that they look into radiant barrier insulations.
Yeah.
That has just started within the last year.
Yeah.
So people are starting to kind of catch on, and they realize, hey, you know what? This is probably the best bang for your buck. Makes the biggest impact for the cheapest amount of money.
Right.
It's permanent. Right. It's not coming down unless you tear it down.
Right.
It doesn't deteriorate or lose its value over time. Has a lifetime transferable warranty. So if you sell a house, it transfers to the new buyer.
Yeah.
That tells you how long this stuff actually lasts.
It's physically like a sheet. Of something.
Yeah. So the product that we put in the attic, we were talking about 12 different materials that we run with. The stuff that we put in the attic, it has to be perforated. Okay. Minimum code is a 5 perf, which means there's 5 perforations per square inch.
Okay.
The material we carry is a 7.5 perf. So it exceeds code by 50%.
Okay.
It is a 2-sided radiant barrier with a scrim mesh. Virtually indestructible. You need a box cutter knife to get through it. You cannot tear it with your bare hands, but it is paper thin.
Right.
So it's fairly simple to install. You can walk around on it. You can store boxes on it as long as you have flooring in the attic that you're walking around on.
Yes.
Right. Something to actually hold the weight. But it's great. I mean, look, we do every insulation you can think of. We should be called triangle insulation.
Sure.
The reason we're called...
That's kind of boring.
It's kind of boring. We're called triangle radiant barrier because we believe that that is the best value for insulation on the planet.
Yeah.
Spray foam is better. I will be the first one to tell you, spray foam is going to give you slightly better impact than a high-grade diamond perf radiant barrier.
Yeah.
But spray foam is going to cost you twice as much as it would for us to come in and do radiant barrier.
Yeah. So this product, when you put it up, generally you're putting it up on top of a batted, you're putting it to the rafters.
Mm-hmm.
And batted insulation's already there because of code.
Not on the rafters.
Not on the rafters.
No, there's no code for insulation on the rafters of your attic unless you're converting it into living space. So most of the insulation's on the floor of the attic.
Oh, okay.
So we can lay the radiant barrier on the floor of the attic. Keep in mind it's two-sided.
Yeah.
So in the winter, your issue is heat loss. The heat in your house is rising. It goes up into your attic.
Right.
So if you have an insulation on the floor that's reflective, that heat is not working its way up into the attic. It hits that product and it starts going back down. They call that stack effect.
Yeah.
So if you put the material on the floor of the attic, it doesn't matter how hot the attic gets.
Yeah.
That heat's not transferring into the house in the summer, and you're not losing heat into the attic in the winter. What it doesn't do is cool your attic off because it's on the floor. So if your air handling unit and your ductwork are up there, you want to utilize your attic for storage.
Yeah.
Maybe we should think about putting it on the rafters, which will make a huge impact in the summer,
right?
But not in the winter. The winter, your heat is rising up into the attic, and your insulation's 12 feet in the air mounted to the under part of the roof deck.
Right.
So this is the education process. This is how I talk with homeowners, and I explain the options, what they'll do, what they won't do. And once they're armed with information, people are pretty smart when they're armed with information. They say, nope, that's the one I want. Let's go with number three.
And you can cover it with drywall. Easily.
New construction, yes. Yeah, new construction. I work with a lot of builders that will have us come in and do minimum batted insulation code.
Yep.
And then we install the radiant barrier to the interior walls of the house.
Right.
Cut holes around the electrical outlets, the HVAC ports, and you can drywall right on top of it. So now it's incorporated in the walls of the house.
Right.
We also have a non-perforated product we can wrap the outside of the house in that essentially is a Tyvek, but it's because it's non-perforated. It doesn't allow moisture through it, but it's reflective.
Yeah.
So if you're already putting Tyvek on the house, instead of putting Tyvek, how about we put this non-perforated reflective insulation, which serves as a moisture barrier and increases the insulation value in the walls for the same price?
Yeah.
It's actually almost cheaper than Tyvek.
Right.
So a lot of those builders are catching on as well.
Oh, that's cool. Now, typically there's Tyvek, and then they put the siding on it.
Right. This one would just be the radiant barrier wrap, and then you put your siding on.
I happen to know a house. Because the only reason I know Tyvek is because I know a house near a family member's house, and that house has been covered with Tyvek, but nothing else.
For 6 months?
Years. Yeah. Decades.
I see that a lot.
You know, it's like...
Get about halfway through the project and they run out of money, unfortunately.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, just a couple of minutes left. What should we talk about? Sorry.
Well, we're about to go into the fall. Yeah. You know, we like I said, we're going to have rains this week. The temperature's starting to slightly tick down. I think we're in the mid to high 80s this week. We've been in the 90s for weeks, so... Yeah. We're just on the cusp of getting into the fall. You know, in the fall, most people aren't overly concerned with anything. The house is nice. They're not worried about the heat or the cold yet. The smells have gone away because the heat has gone down. The humidity has dropped. But then we hit winter. And that's when everybody's worried about making their house warmer and stuff. So just remember I mentioned on the show today for our listeners, if you want to get the work done at a very good price and you want to get it done fairly quickly, I would shoot for December through February. And you'll get a great discount and the work will be performed pretty quickly.
Now, is that for anything?
Yeah, that's crawl space and attic. We're trying to keep our guys busy, and it just tails off those 3 months of the year. No one's overly concerned, so it'd be nice.
So put a mental ticker, a mental note, or a digital phone note for Thanksgiving, and just call Brock. And how are we gonna call Brock?
You can actually reach us at our website at triangleradiantbarrier.com, or you can reach out to the office at 919-986-8808.
I'm so glad that you came in almost as a, my wife was in here last hour, and she talked with Rhonda for an hour, and I noticed that estrogen was crystallizing on the inside glass of the We needed you to come in to save us there. It's been a good guy show for the last little bit. All right, that's Making Your Home Great. Be back next week on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF.